welcome to yet another episode of the Mark and Embark podcast series, season 2. This is a no-nonsense podcast where we talk about road trips, destinations, some tips, some hacks, breaking stereotypes, and more. This is Sunaina, and I am going to be your host for today's episode. Without further ado, let me now introduce a very special guest on our show today, Mrs. Itisha.
Hi, Itisha. Welcome to the Mark and Embark podcast series, season 2 with us. Very excited to have you.
Hi, Sunaina. It's good to hear from you too.
Before we begin the episode, I would like you to tell something to our listeners about yourself.
Hi to all. Hi to the ones who have wheels up their feet and they want to go rolling all over the world. So yes, if I am talking to all of the ones who feel just the way I feel, I'm Itisha. I have worn many caps in my life, many done, many roles. But if I was to identify myself, I would say I am heavily bitten by travel bug. And I travel a lot within the country as well as outside the country, wherever possible. That's the little about me. This was something which I would like to talk about my travel experience as well as my identity as a traveler.
Absolutely.
Apart from that, I am an armed forces person, ex-Air Force officer. I owe a lot of my reasons to get bitten by this bug is because of the armed forces background that I am coming from. Yeah, so that's little about me, Sunaina.
Yeah, so I guess the listeners know that no role can stop you from being who you are. If you love travel, then travel it is. And whether you're a mother, whether you're a wife, whether you're just a professional, I think travel is for everyone, age no bar and no questions asked. Am I right?
Oh, very true, Sunaina. I mean, this is one experience. I mean, I have passed out of one of the good B schools of the country from IIM Bangalore. But I would just add on to what you've mentioned is this is real-time experience. I mean, when it comes to time management, when it comes to, you know, understanding the real-time scenarios, this is travel makes you do everything. And individually or if you're in a group, today there are a lot of jargons thrown in to various activities. But if you've undertaken one journey yourself, that itself is a learning experience. And this is something which is not written in any of the books. It just happens. It's spontaneous and it's a good learning curve. So I have done management roles. I have done strategic management roles as well as I started my career as an air traffic controller. So all pulled in together. Yes. If I were to rate today who I am and how I would like to be known as, it is all because of my experiences of the journeys I have undertaken to various places, and I've learned a lot about the culture, the tradition, the food, everything. I mean, it's all clubbed together, and there's nothing, there's no one book that you can pick up and say, oh, I learned it from this. No. So to travel as a complete whole package, as a personality by yourself.
That's really amazing to hear. I'm sure most listeners would relate to this as well. Without any further ado, I'd like to ask you, how did you actually develop this interest in riding or traveling per se?
So, Nana, I feel I was blessed because I was born to my father, who was also an Air Force officer, and he was a geography postgraduate student. So if I were to recollect my father, there were two books which were always on his bedside. One was Atlas and another thing was like timetable of the trains. And in those days, I still recollect when my father used to have this LTC thing. He would just pick up the timetable and he would say, okay, I want to see this place in this country. And he would pick up the timetable and we would just spontaneously go on. And my mother was very supportive in it. And I owe this entire you know, the bug or the reason to explore new world. I remember when I was a kid, my father used to bring all encyclopedias and he used to bring different types of caves and different type of nature books, and we would just read them, and there would be always a desire to see them. And the best stress buster that my father ever shared with was that he would say that close your eyes and imagine yourself in that different part of the world. So we all go through various kind of stresses in our lives, and this is natural. So I even today I just shut my eyes and I imagine myself to the places I have been or to the places I dream to be. So there is always that hunger to go, is because my father started this thing with us, between me and my sister, and I continue to do it. So I think my inspiration was my father. He started me off and I'm onto my continuous journey, and there is no end to it. I'm a very greedy person when it comes to wanting to travel or wanting to explore new places or new people, even set of new people. So yeah, so he was the reason. He pushed me into it. Coming to writing is, I started off, like we all start off during our teenage times. We pick up our father's two-wheeler and experiment. But on a serious note, it started when I was posted in a place called Hashimara, which is an Air Force base. And it is on the foothill of Bhutan. So I was posted to a beautiful place next to Bhutan. And every weekend, the best thing we could do was pick up our bikes and rush to Phunxling. And I realized that if you have to cover distances, see the beautiful virgin beauty around on the Himalayas, is the best thing is to pick up your bike and, you know, zoom onto the road. And we were all there looking at the beauty thing. So it was all self-sufficient. I didn't have to wait for anyone. All I could just do was put on my helmet and I'm onto the bike. So that's how I started off, and there is no end to it. Even I continue to do it even today. And yes, age is no barrier, and the time zones are no barrier. So I'm onto it. I'm on the roll all the time.
That's absolutely amazing. And so it'll be safe to say that your father inspired you to travel, and having a bedtime atlas by your side is one way of actually looking at the world or picking a place to go to next, right?
Yes, very true.
So what are the challenges you face as a woman traveler? Are there any challenges that you've sort of faced when you've been on the road or when you've planned your trip?
Sunaina, see, that's fair, because I've been a sole traveler most of the time. And that's because the way I plan my trips, it's like sometimes very spontaneous. Sometimes I go with the group too. And but many times, most of the travels have been solo. And the thumb rule I follow is that you have to be sensitive to the local environment. I do a lot of my homework in terms of reading the Wikipedia about the place, the tradition, the very simple adage as it goes is like, when in Rome, be like Romans. So most of my travel, right from clothing. So because we women become a center of attraction only because of our clothing or the way we conduct ourselves in the places that I travel. So be it in India or be it abroad, everywhere I follow the rule book. And the rule book is very simple. Don't break the system. If this is a system says like you should not venture out, like I still remember I was traveling in Johannesburg all by myself, and they said that you don't have to be late night bird. So I was very clear that before the sunset, I'm back in my room and I'm safe and sound. So I don't like to play around with the system over there. If it says that you don't have to, like if you're traveling in Middle East, you're clear that you don't wear different revealing clothes. So otherwise, you're going to be the center point of attention. So I follow the rule book, and by God's grace, by following simple rules like dress, concentrate on your dress, and things have been safe and sound with me. And I've been, yes, as I would like to say, yes, I'm a sole traveler and I enjoy doing that. So, and time, discipline of time is very important. So you don't miss your flights, you don't go over budget, and this is something, and budgeting is another thing which I cater for. And I would one sometime later, I would love to write a blog, how you can travel in limited budget. So, yes, so these rule books have all rules for me have worked fine for me. And I think I would advise all the sole woman travelers to follow the system. If the system says, don't do this, don't do it. And there are a lot of travel blogs written on it. And they are the best cues to take up from and travel. So things are fine with me so far. There have been not much of challenges. I think the world is opened up. Even in India, I've traveled to places like, I remember I traveled to Srinagar and I stayed in a houseboat all by myself for 8 days. And during the turbulent times of terrorism and other things. But for me, Srinagar was fine. The locals also appreciate if you respect their local traditions, and they welcome you with open arms. So that's my mantra. Just follow the rule book of the local place and be sensitive and respect them for what they are.
So to sum it up, and things to remember for other solo women traveler would be to not break the system, to follow the rule book, and obviously respect the culture and tradition of that place. So which has been your best road trip so far? Is there any one memorable road trip that, you know, you would like to tell our listeners about?
So, Nana, that's like, you know, selecting if a mother is blessed with a number of kids, she has to select one kid. So, okay, to summarize it, it would be like I had driven from Wellington to Thames in New Zealand. So I had, it's a beautiful landscape. So people all talk about the South Island in New Zealand, and this is in North Island. And Wellington to Thames, we crossed Rotorua. So that was my very beautiful road trip in the international travel. In India, my recent trip in Leh and Ladakh was awesome. I mean, this is something I would recommend to put it in your bucket list. Whoever wants to travel, this is the best thing to do. The Leh Ladakh is a full package, and every different terrains have a different look and feel. When you go towards Siachen side, it's a different terrain. When you come towards the Kargil side, it's a different feel. So yes, Leh and Ladakh has been my favorite so far in India, the best if I were to look at it. And New Zealand road trip was the best in the international travels I've done.
Leh and Ladakh is even on my list for sure. Like, I have been there and I've stayed there for a couple of months, and man, it was really beautiful. And like you said, every curve, every turn has some, you know, different view altogether, and you know, the gradations, the colors. I mean, it's unmatchable when you talk about it.
Unmatchable. This is something. Leh and Ladakh is not only a favorite destination for we Indians. It's a favorite destination for the rest of the people who really understand what it is traveling.
So what I understand is that your father inspired you to travel, right? And he was somebody who was very spontaneous when it came to picking a destination for travel. So do you also go with the flow, or do you sort of plan ahead for a trip? How does it work?
So Nana, this is, as you guessed it, it's a part of my DNA of traveling. So for me, this many times, like if you're traveling on an international vacation, so yes, you have to plan. The starting point and the end point are always planned, but I never take an ready-made itinerary. For me, it is like, let me get there and let me explore it. Many times I have, like, whenever I used to travel in Africa, I used to always book my bed and breakfast in South Africa. Or I have traveled extensively in South Africa. I've traveled extensively in Botswana, in Zambia, and Zimbabwe. So the best thing I would do was I would get to my bed and breakfast, and the locals would tell me the best places to go. So another thing that I have realized in my ways of traveling is the locals are the best people to tell you what is the best place. I still remember I stayed in Rotorua. And the insights I got in Rotorua, New Zealand, was from the local bed and breakfast lady. So she would, she told us where best place is to go for hot streams, not the commercial ones. So the ready-made itineraries always give you those places. And another thing is, because I'm a sole traveler, I don't like too much of the crowding of the place. So when I went to Victoria Falls, again, I was looking for a corner where I could actually be directly in touch with my place and, you know, absorb it. So I usually depend on the local insights or the owners of the bed and breakfast. They are the best people who advise. And then I pick up all those travel handouts and books and do my study, and then I plan it out. So like, even I can recollect my Leh trip. You've been there. So most of the time they say, like, you have to stay there inside the room, acclimatize yourself. And every person has a different biorhythm. So I went and took a good sleep for 2-3 hours, and I was up on my feet. And I immediately went and covered the local monastery there where I could go for the evening and had some nice time. So I usually do my homework. I prepare myself, but my travel between the starting point to the end point is always spontaneous. So that's how it works for me. And I have realized that I would have covered more places than the people who, you know, go. As Sabit said, I'm greedy. I'm a greedy traveler. So I want to see everything. So I just don't want to lose anything. So that's there in me.
This context, being greedy is never a bad thing, Atisha. From what I learned from your travels and your plans and everything, I think it's a brilliant thing.
Thank you.
Before we let you go, do you have one advice for solo women travelers that you'd like to share with our listeners?
Yes, Sunana. See, it's, again, I'm repeating it. See, best thing is never pick on the places that are not even traveled at all. So even though I'm adventurous by nature, I like to, but then there is always a calculated risk I take. So there is no harm in understanding if the local, it's basically the locals are the best advisor, follow the rule book. The rule book said, I do recollect when I went to Hampi, I saw a traveler from the different part of the world. And you were dressed in not a manner that that was suitable to the place. So we have a lot of travelers coming to our country, and then they get caught up because of the kind of dressing they do. And we know in India, skin show is something which is absolute no-no. So why do you want to, you know, shake the boat? So I always follow the rule book, and things have been always fine. And this is, I have covered miles and miles, and that's the mantra. So I would always tell women travelers to follow the rule book, keep your paperwork or documents prim and proper. Certain things like your visa copies, your passports, your credit cards or debit cards activated well. So you don't have to seek unnecessary help. Keep enough cash in your hand, the local currency in your hand. And these simple tips help you out to travel safely and soundly. And you come back, and then, yes. And another thing, because today's it's scenario, social media, people like to post. So if you're a sole woman traveler, ideally don't post your live locations or your positions. Otherwise, you unnecessarily get tracked. So the best thing is you enjoy the vacation and then keep little positions about yourself, little ambiguous. So once you have come back safely, then you post. It's nice to do that way rather than posting live locations and then the locals start tracking you. So that becomes a little peculiar. So that's all. These simple things work, and then you're on your own and you enjoy the travel. So, yeah. So I follow all this, and it's worked fine so far with me. And I always keep a backup. I share my locations with somebody who's closer to me. So in case something were to happen, if I'm not under any communication, see in Leh or any of the Himalaya destinations, the network is another issue. So always keep some confidant in your network and tell them that I'm going here and I'm staying here. These are the locations. So in case I don't touch base with you, please reach out to these numbers. This is a second point of contact. So these simple tips work out fine with me. And yeah, that's what I would advise every one of my woman soul travelers. And the world opens up. Yeah, so you're the boss of your own then.
Absolutely. And I'm sure a lot of our listeners today have taken back so much from this conversation. And one more thing I'd like to ask you is, any road trips planned for the future as of now in this year?
This year, I did Nandi Hills this time. I was in Bangalore, so I did Nandi Hills. So there were almost 40 pin curves. So this was another aggressive ride on the road. I am wanting to do from Bangalore to Mysore. So it's raining heavily in Bangalore these days. So don't want to, take unnecessary risk. Bullet or Royal Enfield, as we call it, is my favorite machine I like to ride on. So yeah, I'm looking at something maybe by during the winter vacation or after Christmas. Maybe that will be a New Year gift to me, bringing in 2020 that way.
What an amazing way to do that. I mean, I don't know about anybody, but I am truly inspired by you after listening to all of this. And it was such a fun chat with you, Atisha. But I'm not ready to let you go yet. I have a small rapid fire for you. So you just have to answer like real quick. No prizes as such, but I'm sure I'll send you something for sure.
No, talking to you itself is a pleasure. I don't need
thank you. So I'll ask you some quick questions.
Sure.
So if you had to choose, would it be road trip in India or road trip abroad? What do you prefer?
Road trip in India.
Amazing. Tell me one word that comes to your mind when I say road trips.
Speed.
Okay. What is the one thing that you always carry with you on your travel?
Camera.
Undoubtedly, right? Clicking all yes. those amazing pictures and making more memories per kilometer, of course. So, that's about it, Atisha. I hope you enjoyed being on the Mark and Embark podcast with us.
It was wonderful speaking to you, Sunaina, and thanks for reaching out to me, keeping a tab on my travel plans. So it was wonderful speaking to you, as well as the whole team who's behind the scene and hearing us out and doing the groundwork for us. So thank you very much. And I wish all the best to the whole Scouts Matrix team. Go ahead. You guys are doing a wonderful job.
Thank you. Thank you, Atisha. Means a lot. With that, we come to the end of yet another interesting episode on the Mark and Embark podcast series season 2. I'm sure most of you have taken something back from all the information that Atisha had to give us today. I know I did. So if you like what you listen and if you like what we record for you, kindly hit the like, share and subscribe button, and your continued support will only help us grow. So don't forget to like, share and subscribe. This is me, Sunaina, signing out. Until next time, happy road tripping.